Hello, everyone, and welcome to MMT, Millennial Movie Talk, episode 224. I am your host for this evening, Brayden. I'm just Ken Dixon, and I am joined by a very special guest, a co-host of this show, mind you. It's been a while. He's been traveling around the world, and we finally pinned him down. He's back from the future. It's Christian Marty McFly Bianchini. Chris, how are you?
Hello. What's going on? How you going, Doc?
Good. I'm going good. I am Knuff, and it was just going to be an intimate interview, one-on-one, with the wonderful Chris, finding out about all your exploits and stuff, but it is also October 31st, so at the last second, Chris was in costume already, and I then felt the pressure to fish out my shirt that my lovely fiance made for me at the last minute, and the pink bandana. So
beautiful shirt.
It's a fun bandana. Time. Your Marty McFly is on point.
Thank you very much. See, the thing is, I put this costume on and with a denim jacket as well, mind you.
Yes.
And I walked probably a few K just down the main road to my brother's house for a party.
Yep.
And it's the coolest I've ever felt in the world.
That's
and
fair.
I haven't taken it off since.
That's a choice. I mean, you would feel powerful throughout that entire time. It reminds me so much of, there's this wonderful moment that I love referring to when I'm talking about stories about Chris. Years ago, there was a moment we went to someone's house and we were waiting out the front and we were just chatting out there. And Chris shows up by driving his car and like slamming it down the road, comes to a perfect stop in front of us. And it was like right in the middle of that one song from Back to the Future. And it was the coolest thing ever. It like, looked like something out of a
movie. Power of love blasting out of the window.
It was perfect. And you couldn't have timed it any better. And it's just one of those moments that's always stuck with me because I was like, man, Chris freaking nailed that.
I was walking with my wireless earbuds in.
Yep.
So that's what 2023 Marty would have instead of his Walkman, obviously.
He's got his... got his AirPods in, he just doesn't care. He's
power of love was cranked.
Yeah.
And all I needed was a skateboard.
You gotta get into character. Do you skateboard? Can you skateboard?
No. But if I did, I would definitely have like hitched the ride on the back of a Ute.
Oh like, yes. On. Like, love it. And I bet you someone driving past would have been totally down for it.
I would have made their day.
Let's do it.
I was getting looks and you could tell the people that were looking at me just going like, whoa, that guy is dressed out of fashion for this decade. And there was half that, half people looking, and then their faces were lighting up because they were clearly like, oh, it's Marty McFly costume. That's awesome.
It's that thing where for us here in Australia, I keep forgetting that it's Halloween. So on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there's been people partying and going to parties. So you're seeing people dressed up. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that's all happening. I was driving home today and from work just before. My entire street is full of people. It looks like Halloween out there, like the film Halloween. There's people everywhere. It's insane. And I was just shocked at the turnout that they were having. It was amazing.
Any trick-or-treaters to your door?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Tons. We have absolutely none. So one smart thing that they've been doing in this area that we live is they'll go do a letterbox drop in the week before Halloween, and they'll have a printout of a pumpkin, and they say, if you're down for trick-or-treaters, put this pumpkin on your letterbox on Halloween so that we know that it's okay to come and like trick-or-treat with you. And I was like, genius. That's
being
so
in Australia, it's not as big a thing. So nice neighborhoods would do things like that.
Yeah.
So where my mom lives, where I used to live, they did that. There was like a group of families that got together and like pre-arranged houses they were going to go to for safety reasons.
Yeah. It's a really smart way of doing it in a place that doesn't really celebrate it at all. It's nowhere near as big a thing.
I read something today. It was something about in a lot of counties in Virginia, in the US of A, they've actually banned trick-or-treating. Like, it's a finable offense to trick-or-treat if you're over the age of 12.
Whoa, 12?
Fact check, but, like, damn. I read that.
Like, that's okay. Like, I get, like, over, like, I don't know, 17. Like, do something else with your time. You can drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but 12?
It's very South America, you know, just like, hey, kids, okay for kids to do it, but we don't want anyone else.
We got
running
no one
around like hooligans.
Goddamn, don't want no one dressed up like that. Well, speaking of other cultures and around the world, you have been away from us for a while, Chris. And I would love to hear your stories of what you've been up to and where you've been.
Okay, so into the wonderful faraway place, the island of Japan.
Whoa.
And what a place it is.
It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
Your
fantastic
Instagram
country
was popping off.
Yeah. Lots of beautiful nature. Very different color scheme to our nature here in Australia, where everything's dry and dead 99% of the year.
Yeah.
Over there, it's very green, incredibly green.
Yeah.
In the spots that are left to kind of just grow, you get that, like, that rainforest feel where, like, greenery is just stretching its way up and, like, just blanketing the entire area.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
So nice.
Koi ponds. Koi ponds everywhere. Koi, they're around.
My favorite thing about early Chris in Japan posts were how many of them were about how big koi were.
Koi are big fish.
Which was my favorite thing ever.
Didn't know they were carp.
Yeah.
We have a problem with carp in Australia. We hate carp.
Can you imagine if the Murray River was just full of koi?
Then people would be okay with it. So we get this disgusting carp that just dredges the bottom of the Murray and has turned the beautiful crystal clear Murray into a muddy mess.
Yeah.
And, you know, outperform all the native fish. You know how it goes. Introduced carp species. Over there, they love the carp. And they're very colorful.
They're beautiful.
And they're like this big.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This big. If I had a wider camera, a shorter camera, I wouldn't be able to show you how big they are.
Yeah.
All right.
Bless. You got to step back into the room to show it.
Yeah, but they're beautiful fish. You got the bright red ones, the yellow ones. Some koi ponds that have a mix. Some koi ponds that just got the golden ones. They got a bit of a gold vibe going on. I don't know if they take out ones that aren't, don't go that color.
How dare they? Go in that part of the pond with those other ones.
See, there's an interesting thing because you get the bright red ones and the gold ones, and then there do just be some brown and black ones that are just fully brown and fully black, and you're like, oh, you're here too.
Yeah, you're here. Like, you're not the, like, stereotypical pretty ones that, like, people want to see.
Yeah.
But you're there.
So is that good for them? They're not having to pose for photos constantly.
Yeah, I wonder if they're, like, less stressed or...
Yeah, they're not getting attention of all the people pointing and looking. Yeah.
Goddamn.
But yeah, there's that. Sorry, a lot of history. I went to the Imperial Palace in Tokyo. Beautiful place. There's still some figurehead emperor that lives there, imperial family, but obviously no real power.
Just like the queen and the king, am I right?
Just like the queen and the king. Just like the queen and the king. So there's a fake emperor.
Yep.
And
fake emperor for sure. Just for life.
Couldn't go into the resident part, but the rest of the palace is open.
Nice.
I did see a beautiful bridge that enters into the, like, non-peasant area. And then me and my friends happened to be catching some Last Samurai in our Airbnb, because a few of us hadn't seen it.
Nice.
And they start filming in the Imperial Palace, showing the Imperial Palace, I should say, in The Last Samurai. And there's me pointing at the screen like, oh, this actually is the Imperial Palace. They filmed there.
Hang on a second. This isn't a set.
Yeah. And because I saw the bridge that leads in and I'm like, that the establishing shot. I've been there. I was there yesterday. Like, that was awesome.
That's really cool. Like, especially in that short time frame as well. Like,
exactly.
So fresh in your mind.
Full circle. Yeah, because I recognize the bridge. Like, I'm pretty good with places and memories like that. So yeah. I was like, there it is. That's the actual bridge. I got a photo in front of it.
That's awesome.
And then, because there's actually more shots, I'm like, of the interior. I'm like, wait, am I seeing the secret part now? Did they get inside for this?
Yeah.
And I wonder. Yeah.
That's cool.
So I had the full Last Samurai experience doing that.
Were you, while you were over there, in any downtime, were you watching things specifically only for Japan?
We watched lots of YouTube clips, lots of like people traveling around Japan.
Nice.
The only real movies, like Japanese movies we watched, is we watched Last Samurai.
Yeah.
And me and my friends were watching, I think, the Clint Eastwood World War II movie from the Japanese perspective.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That would be Letters from Iwo Jima.
Oh.
So anyone doesn't know, Clint Eastwood, being the boss that he is, made a war movie, but he didn't about the Battle of Iwo Jima, but he made two movies at the same time. One being from the Japanese perspective and being fully in Japanese, and the other's from the American perspective.
That's
and he told two very different stories.
Wow.
What a guy. That's how you make a war movie that actually covers humanity and both sides of the conflict and whatnot.
Yeah, that is excellent. I don't know how I have never heard that before, but like, that is impressive. That's exactly how it should be for that sort of stuff.
Exactly. Humanized both sides.
Yep.
You know, when you're watching the Japanese one, the Americans are the evil ones.
Man, this is fucked either way.
Exactly.
Yeah, boring.
And so we watched a bit of that. Obviously, went to a lot of museums in Japan. Saw some real Last Samurai outfits.
Nice.
Some real armor. That's cool. Read a bit, and like as we were reading about the like old samurai, I was like, "That's the guy from The Last Samurai. That's the guy.
That's him.
Tom Cruise's friend.
Oh, bless. Tom Cruise's friend."
So that was cool to recognize that.
Yeah.
God
damn.
What else can I say? Disneyland.
Yeah, I was going to say you went to Disney and Universal.
Keeping it movie themed. So Disneyland, we've got the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Firstly, have you been to any Disney park before?
So I have been to Disneyland in Los Angeles.
Okay.
When I was like 7.
Wow. Okay.
A lot of nostalgia.
Yep.
Pirates of the Caribbean is one of the rooms I remember going on.
Yep.
This one was a little different because Captain Jack spoke in Japanese.
Huh. That would be quite funny to watch.
It was. So it was funny because the start of the ride, there was kind of a Skull and Crossbones talking, and it did a full sentence in English.
Yep.
And it was like the Barbados voice. Insert actor's name here.
Yep.
That's where I would have been with that. So anyway, he's there and did a little like, "Arr, do you believe in nightmares?" And then there's like a drop and you're on the ride.
Yeah,
and then
nice.
Roll in Japanese. there's animatronics, amazing.
Yep.
And there's kind of, you're just going on a boat through a bit and there's little like scenes from the movie. Like there's the prison cell and they're trying to get the dog to come.
Yep.
Except of course they're saying like, here, like, inu, like speaking like Japanese. And then you've got Captain Jack doing some lines in English, but then in other parts of the voiceovers in Japanese. It's a bit of a mix there with that one. I guess like the franchise is so like character specific.
Yeah.
Like with Captain Jack. So
it's like, oh, we can't just have him speak in Japanese.
Yeah.
It'd be a little bit strange.
And iconic Johnny Depp. So like even the Japanese people know the English Johnny Depp, I guess.
Yeah. It would be strange if they didn't. They've got him there and they already have all his lines for the rides across the world. So it would make sense to just utilize it while it's there.
Yeah, exactly. So fast forward to DisneySea. We've got Journey to the Center of the Earth. Didn't seem themed on the Brendan Fraser movie at all. Just on the original.
Is that the Brendan Fraser and or the Rock one? They do.
No,
that was a different.
Yeah,
one.
Just the original. Jules Verne book.
Yes.
Just really
paying homage to the classic.
Yeah, and great ride. Amazing, very amazing ride. That's highlight DisneySea. Wasn't much else there that was movie themed. Lots of different things. Mm. Lots of Japanese versions of the American park, as you'd expect.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think I remember watching they had that docuseries on Disney Plus that was all about how the Disney parks evolved over the years. And it ended on the most recent one, like addition being the Star Wars area. And watching through that entire process, seeing how it left the States because like Japan were like, we want this exactly. Like they didn't want to change anything, which is an incredible feat that they managed to basically one-to-one capture that, which is
so
nuts.
I did forget. So Star Tours was a thing. That's
Ooh, yes.
right. So I remember Star Tours from when I was 7 because me and my brother went on it 30 times.
Yep.
And it was one of the rides my mum could actually manage at the time also.
Bless, yep.
Yeah, shout out to my mum for taking me and my brother to Disneyland because that's amazing. Love your mum. So you walk in and the line is like better than the ride because you're going through like a starport, a hangar bay, and there's droids messing around, hitting each other on the head.
Yeah.
R2's up on a ledge, like doing things. They're all speaking Japanese, obviously.
Of course. Yep.
But that works because the little droid voices that are usually just like noise.
Yeah.
When they're speaking Japanese, it's fine. They're just like,
yeah. So it's like, yeah, it makes sense.
They sound like Jawas or something.
Yeah, that's quite fun.
I got some gripes though. I got some problems here with Star Tours in Japan. So this is not the same, the ride itself, this is not the same ride that I went on. They've made some adjustments.
There's been a couple different levels of Star Wars that have released since you were 7.
Yes. Yes. There was no new stuff. No, there was no sequel trilogy stuff.
Really?
So they did bad here. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. So the Star Tours is the same. You walk on, it's like a tour company, you know, it's like keep your hands and legs inside the ride, like make sure you've got your baggage, you know, like it's acting like you're in the Star Wars universe and this is like a tour ship. You're going to go see some planets.
Yeah.
And C-3PO is at the front of the craft, like talking to everyone. And in this case, he's talking in Japanese, which works because he speaks like a million languages. So it's
C-3PO knows Japanese. Of course, because he's sharing the stories across the world to all these different people. It makes sense.
Exactly. Now, if I can just quickly say, I remember what the original was from when I was 7 because it was so good.
Yeah.
So the original one would kind of begin. And you're on this tour ship and it's saying like, we're going to visit the forest moon of Endor. It's beautiful this time of year. Like we're just heading there now. Everyone strap in. And there's like a little sequence of you kind of leaving the bigger ship, like leaving the hangar bay.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a fun twisty turns there, you know, like C-3PO doesn't know what he's doing piloting the ship.
Yep.
That's fun. That works. And then it was like, okay, light speed. We're going to Endor. Beautiful Endor. And it would go light speed, open up, and there's the full-on battle going on between the rebels and the Imperial Navy over the moon of Endor. The Death Star's there, right?
Whoa.
Yeah, so this is how the old one was. And then some rebel pilots would come over the intercom on like a hologram.
Yeah.
And they would be like, wait, Star Tours, what are you doing here? This sector is off limits. And then they'd be like, there's TIE fighters everywhere. Yeah, just follow our wing and you might not die, you know?
Fun.
And then you would like following an X-Wing squadron. lo and behold, you end up doing the trench run behind yep. these X-Wings, right? You know, classic. They fire the missile. Luke doesn't show up, but you're, you know, you're with these rebel, like you're following the X-Wings, you do the trench run, you get out, light speed, you escape. It's yep. beautiful. And Death Star might blow up. I don't remember how it ends exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But it made sense. That's the key point. It made sense. There was a bit of a story there.
Yep.
It was cool. Let's fast forward. Now we're in Japanese one. All right?
Yep.
Story starts. We're in a hangar bay, just like the old one. I'm thinking it's the same ride.
Yep. You're like, here we and, go. I'm so ready for Endor and the battle and stuff.
Yep. So there's stormtroopers like walking around the hangar bay and like checking your ship. And they're like, obviously it was in Japanese. I couldn't tell exactly what was going on. And, but C-3PO is like, oh, stormtrooper.
Yep.
And it seems like they're telling you to stop. You're not allowed to leave. And C-3PO takes off. There's the fun part, like real good. You know, you leave the hangar bay. We escaped and we go to Lightspeed. Where we come out of Lightspeed is like into the atmosphere of Kashyyyk and then suddenly in the jungle of Kashyyyk, right? And we're chasing like scout troopers on the land speeders through the forest. Going through little gaps that the speeders are going through between yep. trees.
Okay.
So I'm already like, wait.
Wait a second.
Why are we pursuing these land speeders?
Yeah.
And why are we going through like trees? It doesn't make sense. We can't fit here.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. Anyway.
The immersion is kind of ruined.
Yep. Guns come out and suddenly we're shooting at the scout troopers and we kill one. And then a Wookiee ship flies in and the Wookiee comes right up to the front screen going, yeah. And the Wookiee ship flies away. And then the trees open and we go light speed again instantly.
Whoa.
From the ground.
That's dangerous.
And where do you think we come out of that?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Please don't be Tatooine.
No. Coruscant. And it's the droids fighting the clones. So I'm sitting there. Immersion completely gone. My childhood's torn apart. I'm like, did we just go back in time? This is a different.
This is more than light speed.
This is a different era.
Time and light speed.
Like,
huh?
We were just on the stormtroopers and then the scout troopers. That was Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Even though it was on Kashyyyk, not Endor, which doesn't make sense.
Yep.
And then suddenly we're on Coruscant, and it was the Trade Federation fighting the clones.
Whoa.
Yep.
That's a lot.
So that happened.
That's
and yep. What do you know? Guns are coming out and we're shooting down droid starfighters, you know.
There it is.
Yep. And then instantly we dive towards the planet. And then guess what? It's Star Wars Episode 2. We're in traffic on Coruscant going through the tunnels like Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Oh, you just keep going back in time. It just keeps going further.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure the whole planet's under siege. I don't know if there's just regular traffic going on. Anyway. And then eventually we get out of Coruscant. The ride's still fun. We're still moving side to side. But I'm like, what's going on with we just changed eras.
Yeah. At this point, you're like, okay, I'm basically just in a massage chair.
Yep.
Like watching the Star Wars movies backwards.
So, yes. And then we go into Lightspeed one more time. And now we're in an Imperial battle again. And where there's TIE fighters.
Okay.
And our tour ship is once again shooting down TIE fighters. There's guns at the bottom left and right of the screen. We're shooting, we're killing TIE fighters. And then we light speed again and the ride's over.
Wowzers. At which point you're like, I was not expecting to murder people on this tour.
No, I'm just like, they really like kept the entire start, the entire like, this is a tour, we're paid for this. Don't leave your luggage unattended. Like, very immersive in this kind of Star Wars universe. Very cool way to do it as well.
Oh, I love the way that Disney and these parks nowadays do their cues and their cue storytelling and their lineup and stuff. They do such amazing stuff nowadays. But
yeah,
and then to just follow it up with that.
Yeah, the ride itself, I was like, I remember the story making sense in the other one. Like, you felt like you had kind of been, you know, like...
You're going on a tour and then all of a sudden you get swept up in all this stuff going on.
Yes, like, you get swept up in it.
Yeah.
This was like, we're leading the story. This was like, let's cram as much Star Wars as we can into this.
Yeah. Because it was... As, like, whatever Star Wars you want, so long as it isn't the sequels, we're going to give it to you.
Surprised we didn't get sequels or in there somewhere.
Just one thing in there being like, whoa, now we're in Jedha.
We went Galactic Civil War to Clone Wars, back to Galactic Civil War.
Yeah, wow.
It was weird. I was telling my friends, like, they all liked it, but I was like, oh man, that was weird. Like, it wasn't as good as it used to be. Like,
yeah. And they're all like, what do you mean? That was fun.
Yeah, and I was like, how are we going through the trees? Didn't make sense. Yeah. We're in a spaceship.
Bless. Yeah, especially when it's one of those things where they pride themselves on the immersion of it. And then you go do that and you're like, this doesn't hit right.
Yeah, all of it really, the worst, it's just the changing eras that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
That's the worst
part.
Like,
I can forgive the weird tree thing because, like, actually, no, I can't.
And like the us in a dogfight with TIE fighters, a little
at
like
point,
passengers tour
at
ship.
At that point, reevaluate what you're calling it. Don't call it Star Tours. Call it like, come join the Rebel Army or whatever. Like, and make it like a recruitment drive, and you're becoming an X-fighter and stuff.
Yeah, no trench run.
Yeah,
trench run was good.
Giving you every other thing though.
So. Yeah, it felt like they just crammed in as much different Star Wars as they could. That sucked. Anyway, moving on.
Fun. Well, yes. So Universal, next.
Universal. Main Jurassic Park ride, which is now Jurassic World.
Of course.
Closed on the day we were there.
Ooh, bummer.
But the Jurassic Park roller coaster open. Ooh. The scariest roller coaster I've been on to date.
Ooh.
So this is a dangle one. So your legs are dangling.
Nice.
So you don't feel safe in your little capsule.
You just feel like you could slip out at any point.
Yes. So if I can describe this correctly. So you're dangling. So say this is a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You're dangling, dangling, dangling. When the ride starts, it goes.
Whoa.
So then you're like.
Perpendicular to the ground.
And dangling.
Oh, God. Parallel.
And
parallel
then,
to the ground.
Yes. So then it gets onto the chainmail.
And then
so on the chainmail, you're facing the ground going up like this. So that was the scariest thing ever because your full body weight is against the harnesses.
Pushed forward.
Yeah. So you're hanging against the harness. And, you know, I'm here. I like engineering. I like that kind of stuff. I'm looking at the harness going like, there is two tiny pieces of metal this big keeping me alive right now.
Yep.
And even in that moment, I'm freaking out. Like, I love roller coasters. And I'm like, oh, my God, I would have no chance. Like, I'm dead.
There's nothing
this
you
fails.
Can do with that situation.
So up, 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 up. And then, so we're facing this way.
Yep.
Down like this. So now
you go head down.
Now you're inverted head down, going down. It constantly corkscrews you round, so you're facing the sky, then you're facing the ground again.
Oh.
It does three full loop-de-loops.
Jesus.
This is the best roller coaster I've ever been on.
That's
and
awesome.
It is because I was actually, my adrenaline, like my hand was shaking, like my adrenaline was full. I was actually scared because I'm the one laughing on the roller coaster.
Yeah, like I'm having a great time. And that way you're like, fuck.
I was actually, I was screaming fuck at the top of my voice.
God damn, that's awesome. I'm going to have to look up a YouTube video of that now because that sounds nuts.
You should. I believe it's called the flying dinosaur because you're like a pterodactyl.
Yep, flying. Cool. Love it.
You know, horizontal. But it's the horizontal nature of it. And then, obviously you come off it and it comes back down. And then you jump off.
Yeah.
And like,
wow.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Clap, clap,
that's
Universal. Because
cool.
Every aspect of that was just insane.
Yeah, wow. I will ask, because I do love seeing the clips of them on social media, did they have the, like the people in the dinosaur, like the raptor suits, like
they
around? Yeah, Those are always
so
fun.
We walk past big circle of kids, very realistic people in suits, very good, scaring the kids, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
Wandering around. They were doing a great job.
That's so fun.
One piece restaurant there.
Okay.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Done up like the ship?
No, it was just like a restaurant. That's One Piece but themed. One Piece themed. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Next to a store that was One Piece themed.
Yep. Nice.
And you could choose like the Luffy meal or the Usopp meal.
That's fun.
Or the other characters that I don't know yet because I've only seen the live action.
Yeah. I've also only watched that, but I enjoyed it.
Shout out to the live action. I loved One Piece live action. I really enjoyed it.
I really, really enjoyed it as well. Absolutely loved it.
I was kind of half watching a lot of that at the Airbnb because I had already started watching it before we went.
Nice. And then you just got to delve right into it even more. I was so surprised by that show. That was so much fun and was so much more palatable than the times that I've tried watching the anime from the start. Really just trim off a lot of the fat and really refine it and make it very, very palatable for a Western audience, which...
And this is what I'm hearing. One Piece, obviously famous for the thousands upon thousands of episodes.
Yep.
I believe what the show is like 10 episodes around-ish.
Yep.
And that's like... hundreds of episodes in the anime that get up to that point.
I think because I looked this up for a customer while it basically hit Netflix, and then we had all these people coming into work being like, hey, where's your copies of One Piece? I need to read One Piece right now. And people just went One Piece crazy again. And so I had looked up because someone asked me, oh, do you know where the show ends? Like in the books. And I was like, oh God. Let me look, I'll figure it out. And so in 10 episodes, 10 45 minute to an hour episodes of the live action show, they cover 45 20 minute episodes of the anime, which is, now I'm trying to remember how many chapters of the manga it is. I think it's around that sort of same time frame as well.
Measure in thickness of manga.
Oh, thickness of manga. It's like that thick. Yeah. Like, because they do them in these great 3-in-1 volumes. So it's 3 of the individual volumes in one book. You only have to collect like 45 of those rather than 100 and something of those so far of the actual manga. But it's like that's that much manga that they've done in 10 episodes. Very impressive. It has given me the itch, and I think if they hadn't immediately been like, yeah, we're renewing it, we're doing a season 2, I probably would have gone and watched the anime. Because they've said they're doing a season 2, I'm like, well, I'm just going to wait for that now because I enjoy these guys, which is great. Very much enjoyed it.
Same. I thought it was excellent. The universe, it sold it to me. Like, I was very new to it all.
Yeah. They do such a good job of explaining all the wackiness of it.
They do. It seems like something I wouldn't be into, the wackiness.
Yeah.
Like, especially like with a like naval kind of theme around it.
Yeah.
But I just loved it. I so dived in. I love Zorro so much.
Oh my God. I mean, that actor as well, like far out. Could you get a more attractive person to play Zorro? Like, they look like they're straight out of a K-pop group. Like, anyway, besides the point.
Besides the point. I will just mention.
He's such a badass, but he's so lovable. Anyway, yep.
I have not been recording for the vast majority of this episode, and I'm not sure if I've completely screwed it.
That's all good. I can take it from.
You can take it from somewhere.
The video, that's all good.
That's good. I just had a mini freak out. If I didn't have the glasses on, you would have seen my eyes.
Yeah, like panic.
Oh, no.
Bless.
Because usually we do the clap. We didn't do a clap.
We didn't do the clap, which would have then reminded us. Yep.
It would have. You know,
see, this is what happens when Alex isn't here, because Alex keeps the ship in shape. He gets the ship out on time. He does it.
See, this is the scary episode. Because Alex and Michael aren't here. Where are they? We don't know.
Where are they? The week that you're back for the show is the week that the two others who are normally here every week have gone, oh, no, we're not free.
Yeah. Classic. Amazing.
It's good fun. But
so I think there was an Indiana Jones ride at Universal.
Oh, yeah.
It was Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Huh.
But it was kind of just, it didn't feel like really like anything related to the Crystal Skull. There's one cool bit where the skull was staring at you, like when the ride starts and it's making all the noises. And then the rest of it's just like Indiana Jones adventure. There's a boulder, you know, it's classic.
Yep.
Voiceovers in English, except when the indie animatronic is like, this way, like follow me. And it's actually Harrison Ford's voice.
Wild.
Much like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yeah.
Like they keep they're like, that no, part.
We have to use the actor's likeness and voice because otherwise it gets weird.
But that ride, the theme was amazing. Like the actual setup and the sets and everything.
Yeah.
Afterwards I was like, that was better than the Crystal Skull movie going on that ride.
The ride was like, better than the better. Movie.
Much but better.
Like, is that because I feel like it was an Indiana Jones themed one. I think it might have been in that Disney Park documentary as well. The Imagineering story. That's it. I was trying to rack my brain to remember what it was called. Imagineering story, because they call their ride designers and park architects the Imagineers.
I'm pretty sure they are.
I don't know how they come up with it. It's amazing. But they were showing off, I think it might have been for an Indiana Jones ride, that the ride itself wasn't on tracks and it was actually on basically a big like cart or truck basically. And so it's on wheels it's basically just driving around on a road that's underneath everything and it moves around through there and can go different ways and stuff. I think it was an Indiana Jones themed one maybe. But
I'm going to be honest, it was in a car themed cart, like one of the cars that they drive on in Skull, like through the jungle or whatever with the Russians.
Mm.
But like, yeah, one part of it goes over like a old wooden bridge, which is very like Temple of Doom all of a sudden. And I don't remember seeing any kind of track or works.
I think it might have been that then because I remember watching it, it was possibly driving. So impressive. So yeah, I think it could have been or that. If anyone out there knows, would love to get a fact check. But
some on rails, some not on rails.
Yeah. That's
cool. They had the Jaws ride, which obviously it was all in Japanese. So the Japanese Disney worker is at the front of the boat like giving the story. And then Jaws comes up and she has like a big plastic shotgun and she's shooting Jaws and screaming things in Japanese. It was amazing. That made it even better.
That's doing that thing where it's not trying incredibly hard to be the movie. It's just playing and doing its own thing.
Yep.
But for something like Jaws, you're like, yes, this makes sense. If you went on an Indiana Jones ride and there wasn't Indiana Jones, it would just be an adventure themed ride.
Yeah, exactly. But credit to Universal, great music playing around the place. So there is no Back to the Future ride or I didn't see anything Back to the Future there.
Yeah.
But literally as we started lining up and we're getting our tickets ready, the Back to the Future theme is playing over the loudspeakers.
Nice.
And
feels magical.
It was magical. I was like, oh my God, it was like a we're here moment. And then
It's like Alex when we start the show every week, and the thing people don't hear is that underneath the intro playing, Alex constantly hums the Back to the Future theme every time.
Throughout my life.
Yeah, it's been a very big constant for you.
It has. How's Universal Studios?
Is that it for your adventures in Japan?
I'd say so. We could talk about some movies.
Did you, awesome. Well, you did also then immediately, you came back to Australia and went, nah, I'm not done being away from Adelaide. And
I did go to New Zealand real quick.
Just casually.
That was for my, the annual Airsoft event in New Zealand, which I'm a part of. Shout out to Aussie Assassins Milsim, and Ozzy won. Pretty much the only Australians that regularly play airsoft because it's illegal here. Good fair fun. Enough. So it's a sport that a lot of people like. It's illegal in Australia and North Korea.
Huh.
Even China has it. Big airsoft scene in China.
Gotta say, and I was saying this a lot about the vote that I don't know if we've discussed on the show at all.
Probably not. We had a vote.
Yeah, it was not fun.
No.
But one of the things that I was saying about that vote was if you gave me two options and you said, okay, option A, a lot of progressive people are voting for it. A lot of people that you normally agree with and all of your stuff that you follow. This is someone saying it to me. They're voting for option A. Option B, very, very few progressive people are voting for. And also every Nazi.
Yeah.
I don't really need to know what's going on. I think I know where I'm voting.
And essentially,
I don't really want to be held in the same regard as North Korea.
Yeah, yet all the misinformed and the non-political and the people that didn't really care defaulted to the Nazi side.
That's it. They went, however, and this sucks to say, but they did do the genius marketing move of if you don't know, vote no.
Yep. So,
unfortunately, that was very effective.
Yeah. Quick mention, the Murdoch empire, they had a simple message to push.
Yeah.
And on idiots, Australians that are already sick of politics, it worked, which was just to confuse them, say a bunch of bullshit, which wasn't true.
Yeah, lots and of confuse information.
Them, push confusion, push misinformation, and it worked.
Yep, that it worked. Bless.
So
bless. Australia is in the same boat as North Korea when it comes to airsoft.
Yep, that's all right.
That's very strange. I would not have picked that at all.
So a bunch of cool Australians go to New Zealand every year. So
that's fair.
Hit me up on Instagram if you want to learn more about that.
I mean, New Zealand is basically the cool Australia anyway, so.
It is. It is.
That's fair.
They are the cool Australia. They would have no problem with a vote of this nature.
Yeah. However, they did just their, I forgot about their, vote that they've had recently where now I believe their Liberal Nationals Party is in power after.
Oh, because Jacinda, so the elections were going on while I was
the
there.
Election. Yep. Because Jacinda has retired and bless.
She had a lot of, I think, personal support of the New Zealand people, whereas maybe, they're up for a change party-wise.
Yep.
So that's unfortunate.
But you had fun in New Zealand.
I did.
Hell yeah.
Politics aside, in New Zealand, they do let people play a fun, harmless sport. And we played it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And then I came back here, now back to work, back to watching movies to make the pain go away.
Yep. Back to real life and back to escaping real life through fiction.
Yep.
Speaking of which, very quickly, any standouts from what you've been watching recently?
So I saw, watched a few movies on the plane, watched a few movies, obviously in Japan and from home. Biggest standout for me, one that I didn't see, there was an Oscar given to your boy, Brendan, for this one.
Yep.
And that's The Whale.
I've heard this one's a sad one.
I was in tears, and I watched it on the plane, and I was in tears about three times.
Oof.
Brendan Fraser knocks it out of the fucking park. He is a treasure. He is amazing. Only, like, to carry this movie and have it be, like, good, he would have to do good, and he is amazing. Like, I'm going to tear up just thinking about it, his character. Like, it's so good. Co-star, I'm not sure of her name. Also very, very good.
Is that the daughter?
So the daughter is Stranger Things.
Sadie
girl.
Sink.
She's good. And then there's the older woman in it.
Ooh.
Problem is I don't know her name. But she's in the horrible, horrible movie called Downsizing with Matt Damon.
Okay, fair.
which is another one I watched on Bless. The plane.
Oh my God.
Don't watch Downsizing. Oh, it's an bless. Awful movie with literally no plot. They have a great premise and theme, and then they do not use it at all. It's not part of the actual plot at all.
Like, really? Because the trailer really made it look like it was like the whole film.
Yeah, so it's a cool concept. It's like, hey, to fight like global warming, humans are shrinking themselves and living in like little shrinked communities because obviously you need like less power, less water,
we're
less
taking
food.
Up a lot of space.
Exactly.
As a concept, I can see as a sci-fi premise, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Awesome premise. They don't use that premise as well. It's like, it's just a nothing movie. Seriously.
Wow.
And sucks for the co-star. What is her name?
Hong Chau.
Sucks for Hong Chau because she is given the worst part to play where she has to put on this ridiculous Vietnamese accent.
Oh.
And awful. Bless. The Whale? Amazing. She's amazing. Well, she's so good.
I mean, it looks to me like, wow, she has, I'm just looking at her on Letterboxd right now. She has the most mixed films I've ever seen on this. Okay, so she's in Downsizing. She's in The Whale. So one bad, one good. She's then
one
in,
great, one terrible. They're at extreme ends of the scale.
Also putting it on that, I would say great, The Menu. She was in The Menu.
Oh, of course she is. See, she's so good. I didn't even remember that. She's the main sidekick.
But to balance it out, she's also in Artemis Fowl.
And that's the really bad book one,
really,
right?
Really bad book, Kenneth Branagh adaptation. And then apparently she's also in Asteroid City, the most recent Wes Anderson.
Ooh, haven't seen that one yet because Wes Anderson has made like all these short movies as well. The list of Wes Anderson things to watch is up. He's made a bunch of Roald Dahl
There's the one with Benedict Cumberbatch that I saw a...
There's more than one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Jesus, okay. I have to remember that those exist then, because otherwise I'm just going to forget again.
There's like three or four, I think it's Roald Dahl stories he's made into little short films, which need to watch also.
That's awesome. Just like bite-sized Wes Anderson?
Yeah. Shout out to her. Forgotten her name already. But
Hong Chau.
Hong Chau, she was awesome in The Menu. I know exactly who she was. So Downsizing. They're little, and at one point they mention insects, and they never have a scene where an insect breaks into the little people community. Can you imagine?
That feels like the budget didn't allow.
Exactly.
Oh.
They could have made that movie so much better with just one creepy scene of a massive insect attacking people or something.
Can you imagine one, just like a praying mantis or some shit?
They never showed one complication of being small, like ever. So it's not part of the main plot at hand.
So they have this one part where the setup is, whoa, they're living and they're small. And they do that. And then the rest of the film is just a generic drama.
Yep. Yep. With Matt Damon and what's her name? Sorry. I'm terrible with all names.
You are terrible with names.
Not because it's...
And you've only just learned her name as well.
So Hong Chau and Matt Damon have absolutely no chemistry.
Ooh.
And it's like Matt Damon's kind of falling for her. I think, again, no chemistry. It's just weird. Horrible movie. Horrible movie.
Oh, bless.
So there's two extreme ends of the scale.
Yeah.
The Whale, beautiful. Go watch it. Whoa.
And Downsizing, terrible. Yep. Do not watch
it. Don't touch it. But yeah, no wonder your boy, Brendan Fraser, won the Oscar. I don't know if we mentioned Killers of the Flower Moon last week.
Yes. So Alex mentioned last week that you joined him to go and see the most recent Scorsese. And we did get a bit of Alex's opinions on it last week. But I would love to hear your thoughts.
I think we are very much the same opinion, which is beautifully filmed movie, beautifully told story, could cut half an hour to an hour out of the middle. It's
very long movie.
It's a long one. I'm with Scorsese. People watch TV shows for 5-6 hours. They should be able to sit through a movie.
Yeah.
Bring back the intermission.
That's what I've been saying. I want intermissions to come back so much Because if we're going to keep telling these big, long films, people need a pee, man.
Exactly.
And think of the theaters, more concession sales.
Money, make money.
Yep, popcorn. That's where they make their money. Someone gets halfway through a movie, they only decided to go for a small popcorn when they first went in. And then all of a sudden, intermission's up. Oh, they finished their popcorn. Oh, I could.
What does popcorn do?
I could go for more.
Makes you thirsty.
Oh, got to buy a drink.
I'm out, buy a Coke.
God damn.
Bring back intermissions. Even
it
the epics
coming
out.
Solve the cinema crisis.
Epics coming out in like 2001. I think Alexander had an intermission.
Yeah.
Like, they knew.
They're like, hey, nah, we got to give people a break.
And like, yeah.
It's always so good because you get that moment where it's like, you come back and sit like after you've like run off or you're just sitting there the whole time and you're like, discussing where the film's going and like what's happened and like it's you get this condensed version of like weekly television where like everyone's talking about what happened that week. You get this condensed version of that where in 5 to 10 minutes everyone's discussing what's happened with the movie and people are figuring things out or like predicting what's going to happen, and then the rest of the film happens and they go whoa, and they enjoy it that way.
Exactly. It would, and for the Killers of the Flower Moon, where the middle of the movie, there's a lot of kind of slow just progression of the plot, a lot of slow comings and goings. Shout out to Robert De Niro. Scorsese's learned that you can cast Robert De Niro in his age, and it works.
Funny that.
He is an excellent matriarch character. Patriarch, sorry.
Whoa, that's bold of Mr. De Niro to go for.
Yeah, he's an excellent old man running the show character. And yeah, we don't need a DA Jim. Let's cast him in those roles and he is going to do fantastically.
That's great. I will also shout out to Robert De Niro because I saw from Asa Butterfield, who is the main actor dude in Netflix's Sex Education. You may have heard him referenced because he's a big Dota 2 player. And he's very amazing. Much in the Dota 2 play. So I've heard him mentioned on the Triforce before, which is a fun connection. On his Instagram, he shared a Uber sponsorship ad that he stars in alongside Robert De Niro. And it's just about them being really awkward together and becoming friends. It's all about the fact that Asa at the start is super duper awkward and he says, oh, like I eat too. Like, cause Robert De Niro is in the middle of eating something. He's like, I eat as well. And then he's like, I also go places. And then that's the whole basis of their friendship is that they both eat and they both go places. And then at the end of this, like 2 to 3 minute long ad where it's just them adventuring together at the end, it's like, Uber, whatever their new thing is, for people who eat things and go places. I was like, fuck, that's a good ad. Fantastic. I recommend it. It's funny just watching Robert De Niro play that character of like kind of awkward old man. It's very fun.
He can do it.
He can do it.
Who knew? He's a great actor.
Who knew? Robert De Niro, good actor. Wild.
So yeah, we already spoke about One Piece live action, which I watched also, which
nice.
Loved.
Yep.
It's probably one other show I would mention. What have you seen any movies or shows last week?
I do still need to watch Loki. Mikhail and I watched the first two episodes the other week, but we have not gone back to it at all. I was seeing a headline from today saying that there's like interesting like ramifications for the wider MCU. But also we thought that from the first season and then it didn't really change anything in the movies or anything else.
So this is new season of Loki. There's
new
out.
Season two of Loki. Okay.
I've been seeing more Loki memes, so yeah, that makes sense.
So that would be why. I am interested to continue watching it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't think so recently. I'm still blasting my way through Doctor Who, trying to get up because we have dates for when we are getting the new Tenant specials, which are going to be aired worldwide on Disney Plus, which is nuts. And we're getting 3 Tenant specials. And then the end of that, we get Shuri Gatwa coming in to the role. And I'm very excited for Doctor Who to come back.
And this is the newest Doctor.
New Doctor.
New Doctor.
The new Doctor. So we have the new Doctor, which is Tennant, back. They haven't explained that yet.
Is Matt Smith appearing also?
No.
We're just getting Tennant.
Just Tennant. Because Jodie Whittaker regenerated into Tennant. And it was like, the fuck's going on here?
Right, I didn't even realize that was what she did.
Yeah.
But that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And then, so now we have Tennant, and I think, Donna is in there as well.
Oh, Donna's back.
Yeah. So Catherine she's back Tate. For these specials, which is interesting because the basis of where they left off, this is coming from someone who's just recently rewatched them.
Oh, okay. I just remember, like, her brain will explode if she remembers.
Exactly.
That she's half Time Lord or something.
So what's going to happen when we have Tennant back as the Doctor being like, what the fuck's going on? Why am I the Doctor again? Why am I this person again? And then we also have Donna, so the stakes couldn't be higher. Neil Patrick Harris is there. It's a whole thing.
Oh, if NPH is here.
Yeah, he's playing the villain. He's playing the Toy Maker, I believe.
That's a good NPH name for a villain.
It's very fun, which I didn't know, but I've only seen it on the Doctor Who Instagram recently. That's an old character from like the original Hartnell days that Ooh. They've like brought back and is doing. I love when they reference stuff like that. But yeah, I've been blasting through Matt Smith recently, trying to get up to date. I now have a time frame of like a month, which is not long enough. so I'm going to really commit to just blasting through all of Capaldi and all of Jodie. Get up to date. But that's all I've been watching. You said you got possibly one more thing?
Yeah. Just honorable mention as well. New season of Futurama. I don't know if anyone's caught that. It's good.
Oh,
it's great. There was going to be controversy because they weren't going to pay some of the original voice actors. I think it was possibly Bender. And then they were like, they did it.
Yeah.
So clearly there's some good people behind this. And it's funny. It's fine. Like, it's great. First episode, we get the Scary Door making an appearance, which is their Twilight ripoff. Like, they're giving people what they want.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you're someone who's coming back. You want more Futurama? We're going to give you the Futurama that you want.
Yep. Straight away, we got the Scary Door. We have Calculon All My Circuits episode. Bless. We have a Zap Brannigan episode.
Yep.
They really knew what they were doing. Like, they did it good.
Good call.
So hats off. Worth watching later season of Futurama.
Very nice.
Now, we mentioned the Triforce.
Yes.
If you're up to date on the Triforce, mentioned a TV show on there.
Which I am not, but I'm catching up, so we'll get there.
So Pyrion has been watching Station 11.
Okay.
Which is a post-apocalyptic show. The Earth got hit with a flu. This is pre-real-life pandemic as well.
Oh.
So it's a bit fresh maybe. It's interesting. You know, there's a flu with like 99.9% mortality rate. And it like kills all the Earth in like less than a week. So.
Woof.
There's a lot of time jumps. We get stories as it's happening. We get stories like at one, they like the screen comes up 1 year, or we see 5 years, or we see 20 years.
Cool.
Which is kind of the now, like the main part, which isn't like flashbacks kind of, or flash forwards. So the main part is 20 years after. And we follow Kirsten, who is, we see her like at the start of the pandemic. She's just a little girl. And she's obviously like, 25 years old in year 20.
Yeah.
And it's a traveling band of artists who perform Shakespeare in the post-apocalyptic world.
Huh.
So they travel around to settlements, you know, this being year 20. There's, you know, like, you know, people have started to rebuild a little bit and they perform Shakespeare for people, which is a very interesting angle.
That's
and
fun.
Of course. The post-apocalyptic stuff's done well. Like, they've got kind of RVs, but they're drawn by horses. Okay. Which I thought was funny. Like, that's like fun. they have cars, but they're like horse drawn.
Wowza.
And they have, yeah, they like, it's all about how like art is obviously the most important thing. Living is important, you know? So yeah. they bring joy and happiness to people. Well, and it's got, obviously.
Himish Patel from Yesterday.
Yes, he's excellent. So I spent the whole time thinking, where have I seen this man?
Yeah,
I know this man.
He's got
like
one of those
him.
Faces. The second I saw his face, I was like, oh, I've seen him in something. I don't know what, though.
And I did that thing where you're trying to think of it so hard that your brain kind of gets in the way of telling you.
It just
and then
as
I like clicked enter on Google, I went, oh, he's from Yesterday. And then it came up Yesterday. Like, I swear to God, I worked it out as I was Googling it.
Bless.
As soon as I stopped trying to work it out and was, you know, giving up, I thought of it, which it's a natural phenomenon. It's called something. It's like, sounds like deja vu, but it's called something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome in it. It started off really strong. I'm not finished it yet. I honestly want to write in to the Triforce mailbag and talk about how I've been enjoying this show and see what Pyrian Flax thinks about what happened in it. Because I feel like one of the characters kind of goes very against their character, I'll say.
Okay. Yep.
Like, there's just a turn in the plot where I'm like, I really seriously don't believe that it would happen, like, in with what's going on. I'm like, this guy, she wouldn't do that. Like, it doesn't,
bless,
with what just happened and the way things have been escalating, it was just very out of character, the way the plot turns.
Yeah.
So that's taken me out of it a little bit. And honestly, I was binging it hard and now I haven't seen the last two episodes, but I will watch them.
Yeah. It's that thing where it's just like, oh, it's put a little tiny bit of a sour taste in your mouth and you're like, oh, I should get around to finishing it at some point though.
Definitely. Kind of that like horror movie vibe. Where you're like, don't go in there. It's dumb to go in there. Why are you?
Don't
you're
go in
smart.
There. I know you're why just going you in there this? For the plot, but stop. Yeah.
And yeah, took me a bit out of it. There's still flashbacks though. I still want to still like, there's a few different storylines. So I still want to know what goes on. But yeah, a bit taken out of it.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
I worth a watch if you enjoy it. It's obviously very
sounds like
abstract.
An interesting premise.
Being that there's a lot of Shakespeare in it, a lot of Shakespeare in it.
That's
so it's and the time jumps. It's not like very linear.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think people would enjoy it.
That's a fun bit of
story.
That's
their thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like some people would be like, that ain't for me. But there
for
are
sure.
other people that would sounds great.
So I believe Lewis says it's not for him in the Triforce because he started watching it.
I do remember from me binge listening to Triforce recently, I remember them talking about Silo.
Yes.
Which they were saying was quite good. It's based on some novels. And I can't remember where they ended up going with that. And then there was another show as well that they were mentioning. I'll have to try.
It was another post-apocalyptic one I think Pyrian was trying to convince the other two to watch. So I'm probably going to get on that as well and, you know,
see
I want to write
goes.
Into the mailbag. I want to hear, you know, Pyrian read out my thoughts.
Get it. You can shit talk Milwaukee and you can discuss.
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. That's it. Oh, my God. It's the best.
The shittest place on earth.
Yeah. So, apparently. Yeah, you have to start your email with, this is not about Wisconsin.
And he'll read it.
And then Pyrian will actually read it.
Yeah.
Well, I think with that, thank you for joining us for this wonderful little catch up between two friends. Because legitimately, I saw you pop into the work today to grab the new audio equipment for you. And other than that, I haven't seen you in weeks. So I was like, cool. I'm just excited to get to chat with Chris and see what you've been up to.
Great to see you too.
And yes. I've loved hearing your fun little travel stories.
Thank you.
You can follow us on your podcast service of choice. If you can, leave a review of it. That would be great. You can subscribe over here on YouTube, catch us live or anything like that. And as always, I am Brayden.
I'm Christian.
And we're out of here. Goodbye.